Amen. Praise God. We are excited today. It's always good to be together for a baptism Sunday, and just how awesome to get to celebrate with you, Crystal. Like, so awesome to do that. God's been so good, so faithful, and man, it's just incredible to be together, to worship Him, even to be able to celebrate communion together in sort of in the atmosphere of baptism as well, right? I mean, that's part of the reason we celebrate, is that because He died, we are born again, we get new life, we are resurrected from the dead, even in our state of sin, we are redeemed from that and made whole, made brand new. And what an awesome way to be able to declare that publicly to everyone. And man, what an awesome time together. We have been working through a series that we've called Gospel Paradox, right? And in this, we have gone through a few different pairs here of things that God has just sort of been challenging me with over while I was on sabbatical. And things that were like that we need to love deeply, right? That has to be at the core of who we are. Yet at the same time, we have to come before God with open hands to say, Lord, like however you're going to move, whatever you're going to move, like, Lord, I'm just going to trust you to do whatever it is you're going to do. We talked about the importance of slowing down in order that we might create space for God to be able to speak into our lives and direct us. But then also the importance of going fast in the mission that He has given us, and what that looks like for our own personal purpose. Like, how does that fit into the larger purpose of the kingdom of God as well, and all those things. Last week we talked about how we need to, there are times where we need to just stop. Right, we need to stop making church and faith and religion about the things that it's really not about. Right, we need to be aware of what it is that we are actually prioritizing in regard to our faith, and then we've got to stop making it about the things that it's not supposed to be about, in order that we can make it all about the things that it should be. Right. So, as you can imagine, since we focused on stopping last week, we're going to focus on going this week. And what is important for us to look at in our going is that we are called, according to Matthew 28, we're called to go and to make disciples. We're called to go after people who are not already part of the church, right? Now, I will say that in our in our pursuit of disciple making, right, we have done, I would say, a pretty good job of going after people who are already part of the church in order to help raise up disciple makers, right? I feel like we've done that. I don't know that we have done as great of a job actually going out to connect with people who aren't already part of the church. I don't know that we've done as good a job of going to build new connections and new relationships. And so, again, the great commission of Matthew 28, verse 19 says, therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? The whole idea of going to the nations is that the nations do not have what we have. They are not followers of Jesus already. They're not even followers of God in sort of a general sense, right? There are people that are all around us that don't have any faith, and maybe aren't even interested in it, maybe don't even see the benefits of it. Yet Jesus sent His disciples into the nations, of which you got to think of at that time, we're talking about like these Gentile nations. So not even Jewish people. They don't even have an understanding of God, and yet they are to go to the nations with the good news of Jesus Christ, that it might change their lives and redeem them and make them new and make them whole and all of those wonderful benefits, right? We are called to do that same thing, not just to stop in our tracks because we don't know what to do, but to go with this mission that God has given us. And so what we're going to talk about today is what it looks like to go in that mission. But before we get there, if you would, just pray with me. God, we thank you so much for the opportunity that you have given us today to be together and to hear from your word. Lord, I just ask in the name of Jesus that you would help us to hear from you. Lord, I ask that my words would be yours today, God, that in a supernatural way, Father, you would speak through me, that each of us, including myself, would hear from you, God, that we would be challenged by you and motivated by you and stirred by you, Father, to seek after you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. God, help us to say yes to you, whatever it is that you might challenge us with today, Lord. God, help us to say yes to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to focus on today on a text out of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 19 through 23. For those of you who are part of community groups, you're going to be focusing on these verses as well. You'll get a little bit of a preview here if your group hasn't met already, and you'll really be able to kind of process what this will look like in your life. If you're not already part of a community group, by the way, on the back of the seat in front of you, you're going to see a little white card that says Connect. I would love for you to either scan that QR code and fill out that online form, or even just fill out that card there. We would love to get you connected to a community group. I'm going to come back to talking about it here in just a minute, but it's so vital to our pursuit of all that God has for us. It's so vital to the purpose, to being able to discover the purpose that God has in our lives. Like, yes, you can read the Bible on your own. Yes, you can pray on your own. Yes, you can check all the boxes on your own, but there is something different that happens when you're in relationship with people, when they know your business and you know theirs, and you have this trust and this loving relationship there. God is able to speak into some things that just aren't able to happen, even in a worship service environment here. And man, God is really able to speak here as well. But in that community group, it's just different. And you won't know it until you feel it, until you experience it, until you know it, right? And so I just want to encourage you, if you're not already part of a community group, definitely grab one of those Connect cards, sign up today, and you can put that in one of the offering boxes before you leave. It'll be life-changing. It will be life-changing for you. So I was preaching a sermon. Let me get back to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, let me read for you verses 19 through 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23, and it says, "Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though, again, I am not free from God's law, but under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law." Verse 22, "To the weak I became weak, and to win the weak, I've become all things to all people, so that by all means I might save some. Amen. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing." Amen. So, what I want to do today is try to illustrate for you what this would kind of look like. And in order for me to do this, I'm going to wear a hat, all right? So I realize, like, I know we're in the house of God. This is not meant as a point of disrespect or anything like that. But it will help with the illustration. I promise it will. So if you'll bear with me that offense, I promise there's something good coming through this. We all, as we have walked our journey with Jesus, we, even as Crystal testified of today, came to a point in our lives where we surrendered our lives to Christ, right? And just to be clear, if you've not yet made that decision to follow Jesus, and you're here, this message is for you as well. Trust me, I promise you it is. But for many of us, we had that day where we surrendered our lives to Jesus, and we got our Jesus shirt, right? And we were able to put on that Jesus shirt. Now, again, this is where the illustration breaks down a little bit, because the reality is that that it is to be a Jesus shirt, not a Houston First Church of God shirt, right? Let's clarify that, right? Being in the building is not going to get you into heaven. Amen. I'll say that a little bit louder for you. I will amen myself if I have to, church. Don't make me. Being in the building does not get you into heaven, right? It is actually being a citizen of the kingdom of God, which only happens by faith in Jesus through his grace applied to our lives, that we might be changed and made new and forgiven and made whole and all those things. But that doesn't, we don't get a Jesus shirt by being a part of Houston First. Amen. We get a Jesus shirt by being a part of Jesus, right? That's very, it's very important that we understand that distinction there, right? Because if you think showing up here is getting you benefits that aren't coming to you in the end, like, I don't want you blaming me when you get there, right? don't put that on me, right? I need you to know. So again, so I recognize this is a Houston First shirt, but I need you to see this. This is my Jesus shirt. All right, just see that. And as a Jesus follower, I've put on this shirt as an indicator of my identity, right? I find my identity in Christ. I have put on Christ, right? And because I wear his shirt proudly, right? By having faith in him, this has become my identity. I had an identity before, which was not good, right? It was marked in all kinds of things that were not of the Lord. But praise God, he allowed me to be made new. He allowed me to put his shirt on, right? I get to be a part of the Jesus team now, right? I get to be identified according to his grace and to his glory even in my life. Yet, even as I wear this shirt, I also have other things that I'm interested in. And again, this is where the illustration will break down a little bit, but I need you just to go with me here, right? This is the only Texas A&M anything that I have, so just bear with me here, okay? And thank you for not shouting anything at me if you're a UT fan. We have though, even as we are wearing, as we are finding our identity in Christ, we have other things that we like and that we enjoy that we do, right? That sort of make up who we are, right? The affiliations and so forth. And so what I need you to see is that for this illustration, and again, just go with me here. I know for those of you who know me better, like this is not quite right, but we're going to get there. I promise we will. We all have those affiliations, and maybe for many of you even here, like you it is everything, it's taking everything in you not to just yell giggum right now, right? And that's okay. That's okay. We all have our cross to bear. But we do, we have those sort of connections and affiliations and those things like that are not the core of who we are, right? I think last week the term that I used was irreducible minimums, right? We have this core of who we are, these beliefs that are our irreducible minimums. In other words, these are the things we have to believe as followers of Jesus. And there's a lot of other things that we like we might like A&M, or we might like a certain sport, we might like to cook, or we might like gardening, we might like, you know, all kinds of different things, right? We have all kinds of things that we like, but our identity is in Christ. Do you see that distinction there? You see that distinction? Well, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Let me not do that. We need to make sure, though, that we have a very clear distinction between what is our identity and what are some of the cultural things that we just enjoy doing, right? In Luke chapter 14, verse 26, and I don't think I gave this for them to put up, but it says, Luke 14, verse 26, it says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father, mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Now, that might sound kind of harsh. Those are words from Jesus, by the way, right? That's what he told his disciples. Like, if you don't hate everybody connected to you, including yourself, then you can't be my disciple. And you can read that and be like, oh man, Jesus, like I don't know if that's really what I'm signing up for right there, right? But what Jesus is getting at is, like, he wants us to love him and identify ourselves with him so much that everything else is a distant second, right? He wants us to love him so much that if we took the hat off, it wouldn't bother us, right? So long as we keep the shirt on, so long as we find our identity in him, like, if you want to make me change my shirt, like that will crush me and change me and make me something I don't want to be. But if you take my hat off, now that's something different altogether, right? Do you see the difference there? Jesus, basically in this verse here, what Jesus is saying is, I need you to make those irreducible minimums. I need you to make my identity in you the biggest thing that you are ever concerned with. And everything else is just accessories. Come on with me now. Come on with me now. Everything else is just accessories. Now, as we are going around, we are going to meet some other people who have some different hats on. And I think Charles is actually going to come and help me out here. As we are going through life and as we have our identity in him, right? We have our own, like, cultural things that we're into and that we do and that we like and that kind of stuff. And as we are going around, we're gonna get in contact with other people that aren't wearing the same shirt we're wearing, first of all, but also aren't wearing the same hat we're wearing, right? What's up, man? You look good in that hat, by the way. Not wearing the same shirt we're wearing, but also not wearing the same hat we're wearing. So doesn't have the same identity in Christ, but also may not even have the same, like, cultural connections or anything there, right? Now, what I want us to see in this, what I want us to be aware of in this, is that is two things. One, he may find his identity in something other than his shirt. So it may be that the hat that he's wearing is where he establishes his identity. That's where, even though the core of who he is saying something else. If some of you, you may remember, if you've been around for a little bit here, the sermon that I did that involved that very shirt, actually. And that was an illustration that I did on how shame can sometimes really, really impact and hold us back in our lives, right? I so appreciated the fact that Crystal involved that in her testimony to all of you. Because the reality is, I think a lot of us deal with that. A lot of us have this scarlet letter, if you will, right? We have these marks of shame that are either from the sin of our past or things that have been done to us or whatever like that, and we wear those things. And what happens is, so many times, those things actually become the markers of our identity. Those things begin to tell us who we are based on things that we had done before. Those things tell us who we are based on what happened to us before. Those things define us even though they are behind us, right? And so as we are getting connected with people who aren't wearing the same shirt we are, which, by the way, means that we're probably connecting with people who aren't in this room right now, as we're connecting with people who aren't already connected to Jesus, we need to recognize, like, there's some stuff they're carrying, and they may not even know how significant it is in their lives, right? We as a church can't look at that shirt and say, oh, I can't let that bother me. No. We've gotta look at the marks of shame that people are dealing with, and we've gotta be people of compassion. Amen. We've gotta be people that look at others and say, you know what, I can tell that you're hurting, and I'm not gonna let what's different between us keep you from receiving the gospel that God has given me. Because I think we could all recognize there was a day when we were wearing that shirt, and praise God, somehow, some way, he sent somebody to come speak into our lives, whether it was an individual or a worship service or whatever like that. Jesus found a way to get into our lives and show us that is not what we were destined for. That shirt was not the end of our story. That shirt was not where we were supposed to be. Like, he had another life for us, and he led us into this life where we get to put the Jesus shirt on, right? So as we connect with people who aren't already Jesus people, we can't look at them as if they're some sort of other being, like an alien that we have to avoid because, oh, we might catch something from them, right? No, just the opposite, actually. We ought to thank God every day for how he worked in us when we had that shirt on, right? So that then we can go and do what we need to do to minister their lives. The other thing is, sometimes we can look at those cultural connections, right? Like, he's got that block O, I got this A&M thing here, like, and we can see those cultural differences and even the identity differences, and we as a church can see that and say, oh, well, this must not be an opportunity that God is giving me to share the good news because we are so different. I just need you to read your Bibles a little bit, right? Because there are so many times when God sends the wrong person to connect with people who aren't like that don't have anything, right? Like, even when Paul was encountered on Jesus, like, why are you persecuting me? And it's like, oh, you know, he has this huge conversion moment and everything, and then Jesus sends him to the Jewish believers to encourage them. They're scared to death because 5 minutes ago he was killing people who looked just like them, and yet God sent him to go do that. They look so very different, yet God sent Paul there to do that very thing, right? Please don't think that just because there are differences between you and somebody else that God can't work the good news of Jesus Christ through your life into theirs, right? Really, really important that we pick that up there. Now, the second thing, the next thing is, what we want to do, in order for me in particular to be able to connect with Charles here, I know that we are not going to connect on our identity, right? I'm a Jesus guy. He's not a Jesus guy. But I really, I love Charles, and I really want to be able to speak the good news into his life. And so what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to take this hat off in order to put this hat on. Now, I know some of you are like, oh, yeah, well, you're an Ohio State fan, big whoopee, right? No, but just go with the illustration here, right? Again, it breaks down. But this is just how it had to work. So in other words, like, I may, again, for the illustration, I may not necessarily be an Ohio State guy. Like, that may not be, like, where I find all my stuff. That may not be what I'm super excited about. But because I know that he is excited about it, then I'm going to get into what he's excited for, right? Let me give you another example of what this could look like, particularly for Charles. I could learn to play guitar, and we could actually, like, he likes to play guitar. He taught himself how to play guitar. He leads, you know, he's part of the worship team. It has been for, how long have you been? Anyway, for a long time now, right? Like I could learn how to play guitar, and that could be a thing that we do, right? I know I was sharing an example, even like, so when Trevor and I first started talking and everything, I wasn't a coffee guy, but Trevor was a coffee guy, so now I'm addicted to coffee. Thanks, Trevor, right? But even in doing that, like, it created space in order for us to talk as soon as we stopped going to Starbucks, because he hates Starbucks. But anyway, that's a whole digression there. But you see what I'm saying there? It could be all kinds of different things. Like, the point is that when God allows you to encounter somebody that needs the good news of Jesus, like, you don't have to look at their differences and say, oh, well, I can't ever share with that person. No, just the opposite. What you need to do is take off the things that aren't the irreducible minimums. Take off the things that are accessories and put on the accessories that actually match the people that you want to connect with. Does that make sense? Yeah. Right? And so I want you to just if you're a part of a community group, you're going to do this in your group too, but I want you to think about this real quick. Like who is somebody in your life that you feel like really different from that person, but you know they need to know Jesus? Right? I want you to think about that person in your life. Who is somebody that's in your life that's different than you, but you feel like is like they're connected to you, but they're very different from you. I want you to have that person in your mind. What are some things that they're into, right, that wouldn't necessarily lead to compromise, but would just be a way for you to connect with them? Maybe that person really loves to cook. Maybe that person really loves to, I think the illustration I used earlier was gardening, or maybe that person has just some sort of activity that they really love to be a part of and everything. Like, maybe there's a way that you can actually connect with them through that thing that isn't your thing. It's a different accessory than what you had before, but maybe you can put on that accessory in order to build a connection, in order that you might be able to share Jesus, right? Now, here's a temptation we got to watch out for. And I'm going to try to move through this real quick. And that is that sometimes we can build that cultural connection so much that we just go super crazy with it, right? And so we're just like, oh, this is, I love this, there we go, sorry, this, I didn't work that out. I love this connection. So because he loves Ohio State, I'm going to love Ohio State and everything, right? And so I'm gonna get all this stuff on and everything. It's going to be amazing. These are like all this stuff, right? We'll get the flag out and everything and like all that, right? And we'll do all those things, right? All of that. And then, but here's the temptation. Sometimes we can connect with people so much with that cultural connection that we actually forget that our identity is now being hidden. Do you see that? So the goal is not just to connect and like, oh, like, okay, now we're friends. Cool. Like, we have this thing. Awesome. I've got Jesus. You're still going to hell. Do you see that? Like we don't say that, but we get so lost and like, oh, like, we got this thing and it's so fun and we tailgate and we watch the game and they're awesome and all these things, but we can make it so much about the cultural thing, even as believers, that we tell ourselves, oh, well, I'll just act like Jesus and he'll get it. Which is a really sly way to say, like, I don't know what I'm doing with my faith. Right? Don't get me wrong, I want you to act like a Jesus person, but I don't want you to hide that, right? It has to come out even in the words that we're saying. And so it's important for us to do that, and this has to go away. It's important for us to do that, right? So we got to make sure that we're connecting and finding a way to connect, and whatever that, when I say cultural thing, I don't mean like anti-Jesus thing, but just whatever isn't an irreducible minimum, we just find those things that we connect with, right? And in that, then we change our hat in order to connect with them. Now, the goal in that is that as we have this connection now I'm able to share what is at the heart of my identity. And then I'm able to share that with Charles. And now he, through our relationship, because we had a connection that we did, he is now, I'm able to introduce him to what is the good news of Jesus. And he is then able to actually put on for himself. He no longer has to be known for the shame of his sin. He no longer has to be known for what he did. Now he can be a Jesus guy too, right? Because of the fact that we took the time to build a relationship in order that I might be able to share the good news of Jesus with him. And it's not like I don't have to give him a sermon with certain illustrations and a poem and all this kind of stuff. All I need to do is share with him what Jesus has done for me. When I don't hide my identity in Christ, it will come out in such a way that he'll be open to receiving that as well. But if I don't change my accessories, I might not get the opportunity to share Jesus. Do you see that? Some of us hold on to those accessories so tight that we're losing opportunities to share good news with other people. And we've got to make sure that the accessories don't become the irreducible minimums of our life. The accessories can't be as important as Jesus. Amen. They can't be. I've said multiple times that if at my funeral people say more about Ohio State football than they do about Jesus, I am going to be so mad. Like, seriously, like hear me real clearly, like, I watched the game last night. Matter of fact, our community group watched it together. It was a beautiful time where we all were able to fellowship in the Lord. We spiritualized that whole thing, even though they beat God's team in Notre Dame, right? It's all right. It's all right. Please know. Please know that when it comes to my relationship with Jesus, I hate Ohio State compared to Jesus. Amen. I mean, if Jesus is calling me to hate everything else in my life compared to him, I just need you to know, like, I hate Ohio State compared to Jesus. That is an accessory, and I might have a lot of those accessories, but it is only an accessory. our goal is to go to build connection with people, to build relationships with people in order that we might be able to share Christ, that their identity might be changed as well. And then what happens next is that as a disciple maker, I then get to send him out. I get to send him out with a new identity, preparing him for the fact that, you know what? He might have to take off that hat to put on a new one. That whoever it is that he gets connected with, I mean, let's just hope it's not a Michigan fan, but even if it is, Larry, I love you. I love you, Larry. Even if it is, you know, that then he is sent out to go and do the same. I'm sending you out. You may go. Tell Charles thanks for me. You can take all that with you. The goal is that we are finding ways to go into the world and connect with people, build relationship with people, and we might have to do that on their terms, right? And their cultural ways, if you will, right? In order that we might be able to share the identity that we have in Christ with them, right? What I want to challenge you with today is to recognize that this mission is ours, right? Paul challenges us to be all things to all people, that by all means we might save some. That doesn't mean that you have to be running around with multiple personalities and all that kind of stuff. What that does mean is that when you find someone that God's giving you an opportunity to share with, don't let your accessories keep you from sharing good news. Don't let the things that aren't the core of your identity in Christ keep you from doing what he's calling you to do. We've been called to go. And we need to be willing to let go of anything else that would keep us from sharing that good news, right? I want to invite the worship team to come on back up. And as they do, we're gonna sing one song together before we close out today. And in that, what I really want to challenge you with is to really ask yourself, like, where do you see yourself in this whole thing, right? Maybe you're one who you're still wearing that scarlet shirt, right? That had the marks of shame on it, right? Maybe you're the one who is still feeling that old life. And I just want you to know, like, you don't have to live in that anymore. You can absolutely be transformed. The grace of Jesus Christ is available to you, that you can actually take on the identity of Christ in your life. You can be forgiven and made whole and redeemed. You can be, all of the things that you need the most is available to you through a relationship with Jesus. He can forgive you. He can change you. He can encourage you. He can absolutely change everything about you in the most wonderful way, right? Maybe you recognize that you have connected with somebody that isn't anything like you, yet God has still allowed you to get connected somehow. Maybe there's a coworker, a family member. Maybe it's a son or a daughter, right? Maybe there's a cousin. Maybe there's a neighbor that is literally right next to you, right? You don't really feel like you have a connection there, but maybe God is challenging you today to find a way to make a connection. Maybe he's challenging you today to really ask yourself, like, are you making accessories the irreducible minimums? Or are you willing to let go of those things in order to be able to speak good news into people's lives? However it is that God is challenging you today, I want you to say yes to him. I want us as a church together to go on mission together into the world, not just with the church, not just with each other. We need to go because they need to hear the good news too. They need their lives changed too, and they might not be wearing the right shirt right now, and they might not even have the right hat on, but I'm telling you that, like, even as we needed it, they need it, and we've got to be the ones. God said the church is the one that I'm sending out into all the nations, and we might teach and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Church, I got a whole lot more people that I want to baptize. I got a whole lot more people that I want to celebrate with. There's a whole lot more people that need to let the world know that their life has been changed, but they're not going to have changed lives unless we are all things to all people, that by all means some might be saved. Let's all do our part. Stand with me. We're going to sing. And as we do, I just want you to listen to the Lord. How is he challenging you? What is the step you need to take today in order that you might follow him? Thank you, Lord.